You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
So Jasper, you've been watching some DC Universe shows.
DC Universe.
This would be a good pre-show. Mm-hmm. You got a membership. Mm-hmm. You let me have access to your membership. And we've been watching a couple of the shows on there. So I thought this would be a good opportunity, since it's not quite GCU talk. This would be a good little pre-show. We'll keep it brief.
Yeah.
Because we still have to record GCU. Mm-hmm. Mainly I'm saying that for the listener. This is indeed a pre-show. What have you been watching on there? Just Doom Patrol?
For right now, Doom Patrol. I watched the first episode. So I'm 5 episodes into Doom Patrol and 1 episode into Titans. I also wanted to try Krypton. I thought that was kind of like the first.
Okay.
The first show they came out with, it looks like, by date.
Krypton, I think, was like a Sci-Fi Channel thing.
Okay.
Which is interesting because, like, they have some weird older shows like Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised by. So it's, you know, it's interesting. They got the rights to a lot of the DC related TV shows from the past, even. But no, I think Krypton was, I think it was made for Sci-Fi Channel or something.
Yeah.
I've been watching Titans and Doom Patrol. First started with Doom Patrol to kind of check it out. I know Doom Patrol is kind of interesting. It's quirky. I know Grant Morrison's written a bunch of Doom Patrol, so I figured they probably had some weird material to work with if they used any of that. And I suspect they have, because the show is weird. Gave it a try with Melanie one day, and like, dude, yeah, I loved it, like, right away. And if you want to talk about Doom Patrol for a moment, we can. But then I wanted to, Melanie wasn't here, and I was trying not to watch ahead on Doom Patrol. So I was like, well, maybe I'll try Titans. I was reluctant to try Titans because the trailer, you know, it's got the F Batman moment, and it's got the edgy Robin, and I was like, such a weird tone for Titans.
For Titans, yeah. So it seemed like Doom Patrol was more refined, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. Titans looked kind of cheesy to me at first, like, mm-hmm. especially the way, like, Starfire looks and Raven. You know, mm-hmm. kind of like they're still going with the same Raven, but I was kind of like a kid. And then the F Batman kind of moment. But I was like, at first, I'm like, man, I'm not really sold on that series. But after watching just the first episode, I think they've got a good direction on it. I mean, you probably watched more than I did, but.
So I was not a fan of Suicide Squad. I think that's a bad, bad movie.
It was entertaining. It was not a great movie.
I think it's a bad movie. Yeah. It's cheesy, and it's a. Tries to be like fun and edgy, and it's just like, stop trying so hard. And I was worried that's what Titans was going to be. Not to say it doesn't try a little hard sometimes, but I was worried Titans was going to be a super low budget take, like a super low budget version of Suicide Squad.
And that's what I was worried about, because like, mm-hmm. I said, it looks low budget. Like, it looks bad.
I mean, it's a TV show, but the trailer like kind of highlighted some of the super cheesy looking elements of it, I thought.
I kind of want to use like the words like overstylized or kind of like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, like it looked weird. And I'm like, man, this ain't going to be good. But then I watched, like I said, I watched Doom Patrol like 20 minutes into one episode. I'm like,
The trailer looked overstylized in the way that Zack Snyder, like, not to like just rag on DC movies, but in the way that Zack Snyder makes his movies. It's kind of the problem with not so much Man of Steel, but definitely Batman v Superman. And whatever happened with Justice League, where it's overdone with CG to where it doesn't need to be. Like, you can scale it back a little bit. It can look a little more natural. And so I was worried that's what this was going to be, only with a TV show budget. And yeah, no, I don't think it is. Like, I think it's, yeah, there's some cheesiness, but the first episode, you know, part way in, I'm like, this is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as cheesy as I was expecting. There's so many superhero TV shows right now. It's not the best of them. It's not bad. I thought it was going to be crap, and I was impressed. In fact, I just, out of curiosity, had Melanie watch the first episode. I'm most of the way through the first season now, But I had Melanie watch the first episode, and, you know, she's, I'm sure she could care less about the Titans TV show. Doom Patrol, at least, is kind of more in her wheelhouse of, like, weirdness and humor.
Mm.
And at the end, she's like, that was actually pretty good. I was like, yeah, right? Like, it's not bad. It's a pretty good show. There is some, as it goes, I think it's still good. There's a couple cheesy moments, but for the most, and there's also a couple moments where it's like, oh, you're trying too hard. But for the most part, I think it's pretty good. And there's some stuff that, like, really sticks out as, like, standout moments, and it's kept my interest. There's every time something, like, kind of a, something extreme, something like adult or, like, just kind of messed up happens, because most of the characters are pretty loose with, they don't, not everybody has the rules about not murdering people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first episode, Starfire snaps this dude's neck, and I just wanted to go, Teen Titans Go! And then later, if you haven't watched it, you haven't got this far, but it, later there's, never mind, it's kind of spoilers, I don't want to get into it, but there's a part where somebody just, a young character drops a bunch of F-bombs, and his attitude is just ridiculous, and afterwards I just want to be like, you know, because he's like, oh, I blah, 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 and I effing love it. Who the F are you? Like, just has this moment, and afterwards I just go, I was watching this by myself, mind you, I just go, Teen Titans Go!
You're right. And it's weird, too, to see, like, because you almost think when, like, DC Universe came out that they would more market it towards children, but this is a very, like, adult.
Dude, like, children.
Or, I mean, not, actually, no, hold on, not children, more teenagers, but not as far as, like, they went in both these shows, like.
Well, I'm surprised that they went with Titans, and it is definitely an adult show. It's for, you know, it's essentially R-rated, you know. Children and teens are not DC's target audience. Comic books are not for kids anymore because kids don't read them. The people, like, at a certain point, I want to say starting in the 80s into the 90s, I guess when comics started to get more mature, the kids that were reading comics in the 80s and 90s are now the main people that are reading comics. And comics have kind of, like, evolved.
I think in a sense that comics have
towards
got,
that.
Yeah, comics have got lost on this generation, like, of the younger audience.
But it's so weird because
I think mostly
comic
YouTube
books have
over.
Still, the comic book stories have taken over TV and movies.
Right.
Like, everything's comic books now, except for comic books. And you know, DC and Marvel have been, you know, long since been bought by these huge entertainment companies,
mm-hmm.
to where the comic book portion of their companies is, like, not profitable. It's just a little add-on, like, whatever. We had to buy this. We had to buy DC or Marvel because we want to use their characters in these multi-million-dollar blockbuster movies.
Right.
To where, like, once they buy them, the comic books actually become, like, losing profit. But I guess it's okay because the whole comic book industry is probably, like, nothing compared to what the movies and TV shows that the comic books inspire make. So it's very strange.
I feel that I'm more like visual stuff, like video entertainment other than like reading entertainment anymore, which is weird. Cause when I was a kid, I read a lot of books and we read comic books that we had got, but now I'm more into like YouTube and all that kind of media. And I think they're sinking more into TV shows, movies and all that stuff over.
Well, that's where the mass audience obviously is going to be.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking about, if you have these characters and you want to like make these characters profitable, you're going to sink the money into the movies or to TV shows where you're going to get everybody watches movies or TV. A very select, like niche audience reads the comics.
Right. But again, that's also what I like about this DC universe is that we have that collection of comics that we
I read. Really like that. It's so strange just the idea of it because I was like, oh, why do we need a DC streaming app? Like, why? So they're making a couple original shows, and as we were talking, like, they're actually, from what I've watched the original shows so far, pretty good. Like, I love Doom Patrol. It's one of my favorite comic book shows now. I know we kind of glossed over it, but the fact that, like, I don't know, one show generally isn't enough to for me to, like, jump on board with another streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
But roping the comics in there, and it makes sense, it's DC, that's actually, you know, I've been using your account, but I've been thinking, like, If they start bringing in more recent comics, and I know they're supposed to, they're going to be like 6 months behind what's currently out on stands. But, you know,
yeah, because they only buy that physical copy.
Yeah. Currently, they're more than that. It's like a year or so. A year or better is about as new as you're going to get. and they're supposed to update that. So if they update that, I don't know. I'd be really tempted to get my own account because, like, I've stopped buying comics. It's got too expensive.
Yeah, and they can't afford it. They do have a deal where you buy a year of it for $79, so it takes like 80 cents per month off.
That's not bad.
Which is not bad for that kind of... For a comic book fan, I think 79 for that kind of collection of comics. Like I said, I haven't gone in there and searched all the comics, but, you know, looking up ones that I want to start on, I mean, that's well worth it to me. Plus the originals that don't have commercials or anything for that cheap.
So when the app first, the service first launched, I created an account, but I didn't buy like a membership or whatever. But I went to the website to where you could at least look to see what they had.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed at first. And it definitely seems like they've boosted their collection of stuff. Initially, after you give me access, I looked around and I was kind of blown away. I was like, oh, there's so much stuff. I don't know. There's probably, I have no idea how many issues DC has in their backlog. Hundreds of thousands easily. But after digging through it further, there's a lot on there, but there's not as much as I was initially thinking. There's a lot of good key storylines where if you haven't, you know, like, and there's a lot of stuff I haven't read in there, but like looking at some of the Batman stuff, I know you don't really care about Batman comics, but I was looking through and I'm like, oh, Jasper needs to read that. That's like essential Batman. Oh, Jasper should read that. Oh, look at that. That's good Batman. And then I was like, well, what about Swamp Thing? So I looked up Swamp Thing and they have like all the Alan Moore stuff, or at least a big chunk of the Alan Moore stuff. And I'm like, well, at least they know what they're doing. Like they're picking good stuff. But then I dove into it deeper and like Swamp Thing, like I've read the Alan Moore stuff and I've read some of the newer, like they had the new 52 stuff. I want to read the stuff I haven't read. They only really have the Alan Moore stuff and the new 52 stuff. Like they don't have the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a bummer. So if you know, anymore, I'm not even that avid. And it's not like I've been reading DC comics my whole life. But I imagine for somebody who has read a lot of DC comics, what they want to read might not be here. They've probably read most of the stuff in here. Although it's a good excuse to branch out to other characters. I don't know. Point is, they do have a ton of stuff. And they have good storylines. And there's a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of Batman stuff in there I haven't read. But it could be expanded.
I guess the plan is to have their whole backlog collection on there by 2020 or 2021.
Really?
Yeah. But again, that could be a horrible source. I don't remember the website I looked at, but
I'm going to assume that's false information.
I kind of am too. I mean,
I can't trust you, Jasper.
That'd be a lot for $7.99 a month.
Is that how much it is?
Yeah. $7.99 a month.
Oh man, that's actually a really good deal. So there was a lot of stuff. I mean, there's hundreds with all the series together, maybe even 1,000 Batman issues in there, which is awesome. But then I was like, they had all the new 52 stuff. They had several of the current run, although nothing that I hadn't read yet. And I haven't been reading it for over a year. So I was disappointed in that. So then I looked in at the initial like 40 something year run series, you know, because they have it split into the volumes or whatever. But of Batman, where there should be, or Detective Comics even, where there should be 900 and something issues.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple hundred, which is a lot, 100, 120, 200, but like that's like 600 issues that aren't there, you know, so they don't have everything, but they do have a good, I mean, especially $8 a month, that's a pretty good selection.
Yeah.
I think there's comics, there's enough there that would keep you reading for quite a while.
Now, I've heard of Marvel Unlimited. Is that kind of the same? Is that more just comic? I know that's more just comic books, isn't it?
No, it's just, yeah, it's just comics. And they've had it for a while. And the DC Universe app made sense to me because DC's what I would primarily read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always a little jealous of Marvel Unlimited. But it's the same type of deal where they don't have the newest of the new comics. They're a little behind. But they have a lot of stuff. And I've heard people have the same kind of complaints that I'm making about DC now. But yeah, Marvel Unlimited's been around for a while, but it's just comics.
Now,
as far as I know.
That bridges to my question. Do you think Disney Plus, when it comes out, will merge the two apps?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like kind of try to rival Universe.
I mean,
they said they have so many plans for Disney Plus. You know, I was wondering if that would be one.
That'd be a good idea. But in terms of like competing, I don't think they're even remotely worried about competing with DC Universe or anything. Like, yeah. I don't think they are at all.
Especially because they've now announced all the, you know, the movie actors are going to be in TV shows type thing. But again, too, so I know we kind of glanced over, but I kind of wanted to come back to Doom Patrol.
Yes, let's return to Doom
Patrol. Yeah, to Doom Patrol. What did you think of Brendan Fraser in this kind of role? And kind of the role of the Robot Man?
I like him in the role of the Robot Man because I don't have to look at his face.
He got big, dude.
I've never been a Brendan Fraser fan. I don't care for him. I don't understand. Like, I've known so many chicks that love him. Oh, Brendan Fraser. What?
Is it Melanie one or she doesn't like him?
No, she's one of them.
Oh, my God.
They all are. All you ladies out there. Which I don't get. Okay, so he was kind of good looking, I guess. But, like, he's goofy? I don't know. And he seems dumb. He seems a little dim. I just don't care for him. And he's gotten older and he's got a big old blockhead now. And it's just like, he was fitting for his character of this kind of a crap bag race car driver guy. I was like, oh, that's fitting. Mm-hmm. Although I don't see him hopping in and out of that window very quick at all. That's so rude. I'm sure I weigh more than he does, but no, he's a big, big thick guy now.
Thick with three C's.
That's right. Thick.
Thick.
Think about his.
He's the so first, thick.
Think about the first shot you see of him in that series now.
Yeah.
Ugh. That said, I don't think he's bad in it. I don't really hate him. I'm not a huge fan of him, but I don't really hate him. And, I mean, a part of me is like, good for you, man. Like, because I hadn't seen him in anything. And, you know, he's getting work. And it's in something I enjoy. And I do enjoy his Robot Man character. He has a couple catchphrases, and I appreciate him for how ridiculous it is.
He does the funny moments amazingly. Like,
do you think is he in the robot suit all the time? Is he ever in the robot suit?
I would think he is.
I would think so.
Because he doesn't really have to move that much. I mean,
and he doesn't move very fast in it.
Yeah.
It probably is him. This is super rude. This is a bad, whatever.
I was kind of laughing in that one episode where he looks up that you can see his throat moving.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, when he's talking to the people in Nurnheim,
mm-hmm.
when he looks up to talk to him, you can see this whole piece of his suit moving.
Oh.
I wonder if they, like, because I thought his whole thing is supposed to be metal,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, this whole thing is moving.
I didn't notice that. That's funny. The suit doesn't look bad either.
No, I like it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
overall, I think the look of, like, Doom Patrol, I think it looks pretty good. There's some questionable CG, but to be honest, the Titans has some real bad CG moments,
mm-hmm.
but overall, I think I it's fine. I like it.
It does seem like the CG moments they have it kind of seemed like this was all a test type thing. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they didn't sink all the money into this series yet, but.
Well, like the costumes are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think like Cyborg looks pretty decent, I think.
What did you think of his character? As far as right now, how do you think?
I hate Cyborg. He's a D-bag. Okay, so here's the thing with Doom Patrol, though. Everyone's a D-bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all jerks. They're either a jerk or just super mopey, or a combination of them, or they're Jane, and she's like all of them.
Mm-hmm. Jane's becoming my favorite character.
But that's kind of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of show. They're all jerks. It's just most of them are kind of likable. They're likable jerks. You know, Robot Man seems like less of a jerk now because he kind of lost, you know, because he lost everything type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of them, he kind of seems like he has the most heart. They're all jerks, but they're kind of likable. However, Cyborg is, to me, even though he's the good guy out of all of them, where they're mm-hmm. all just kind of like ambivalent for the most part, he's the good guy. He's the one I can stand the least. He is just a huge jerk and it's super judgmental.
Right.
The villain. So let's talk about the villain. The show's ridiculous. Episode 1, the donkey fart. It's like, oh, God, don't. That's trying too hard. And some people would be turned off by the super meta-ness mm-hmm. of it. But I'm a sucker for good meta. And this show is super meta. The villain, he might as well just, like, it kind of puts Deadpool's meta-ness to shame, mm-hmm. how meta this is. At the beginning of the second episode, he's even, you know, I mean, who's even watching this? A few fanboy DC fans, some Twitter trolls, blah blah blah, and amazed anybody stuck around after the donkey fart. Like they knew, they know.
Yeah,
like
that's what I was.
That
I was
made the laughing. Donkey fart work for me because I'm just like, well, it was stupid and ridiculous, but then they had the villain in the scene reference the fact that people stuck around watching after the donkey fart. Like, come on, okay, you got me,
right?
And that was even a moment where, like, the narration's happening, and then the camera pans over, and he's standing there in the scene, actually saying it.
Yeah.
And the guy's sitting there like, who are you talking to? I love that stuff.
Yeah. And he's, like, narrating, and then like, when they get to that part, when they're in the other world, and he's narrating the movements, he's like, then they look forward, and like...
Oh, no, and they can hear his narration, and yeah. That becomes a thing, where he'll talk to people through the narration, but then they... Then they journeyed forward and nobody moves. Then they journeyed forward and they're like, they start walking. Yeah. Like, what? He disappears for several episodes before kind of coming back in. You'd watched 5 episodes?
Yeah.
Wherever you left off last, I lost your spot for you. I'm sorry.
The last was when the eye is in the sky.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to. That's the problem with these apps. Netflix is smart. I like the... Well, maybe it's not smart for them, but I like that they have different profiles with Netflix. So
that's what I was thinking too, is if I started reading the comics, I'm like, damn, I'm gonna like jump over Randy or something. And so I've been looking, but I can't find
it. No, I don't think you can.
I do though. Like
it's like Hulu and HBO. It's all the same.
Like, they I don't do really... like that. We can watch at the same time.
That's, yes.
So I don't have to like text you like, hey, are you
eventually
on?
Companies are going to try to do away with it, but I think they realize that they might as well embrace it. People won't get upset if they're like, yeah, no, your plan includes you can watch it on 2 different devices at the same time, as opposed to like, no, 1 device, or you have to buy another account.
Well, because I think that then you'll be more susceptible to price hike, because then you're like, oh, well, they let us watch 2 people at a time. Yeah. You know, I'm okay with $9.99 a month, but...
Mm-hmm. Or Netflix, which keeps going up, but...
I'm about to get rid of Netflix.
I say I'm okay with it, though, because, man... Okay, so Netflix, we're all over the place, and we need to get onto the actual episode, but I just want to say Netflix, you know, I had Netflix for years, and mm-hmm. then at one point I was like, whatever, cutting costs, so I got rid of it for a while, and then I got it back as they started transitioning towards, because I remember I had it for a long time, the streaming service, all that, I had it when it was, you get the discs and mail before they launched the streaming service, but whatever, it was Netflix, it was movies and TV seasons and stuff, but no originals before the original stuff. Then they started doing the original stuff. You know, I didn't have it for a while. I got it back during that period where it's like, where I'd be browsing through and I'm like, where's all the movies? Like, what is this? Like, there's a bunch of original stuff, but like, they didn't have a lot of super good stuff.
Right.
And I remember being annoyed, where'd all the old movies go? But now, dude, like, I don't know. They've got such a good, I'm kind of like, where's the next good original Netflix thing? And most of the original Netflix originals aren't, they're just shows from foreign countries that they license, whatever. But there are a lot of good shows. So I'm kind of up to a certain point, like as they keep hiking it, like there's just like a $3 or $4 price hike, which is a little much, but for the most part, I'm still within the range where I'm like, I get it, because I enjoy, it's not an HBO where there's 2 shows I want to watch. It's not a DC universe where there's, you know, one show I like, one show that's not bad, and maybe I'll read some comics. There's a bunch of shows on Netflix that I like and I watch regularly. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's other shows that I want to watch. I just haven't got to it. There's shows where I'm like, when's the next season coming? So I'm kind of good with it right now.
Right.
I mean, they start going well over $20. I might have to think about it, but I'm good. I'm okay with their price
hikes. I think the only reason I have an issue with the price hike is because I have the other apps. And I'm kind of trying to look to where I want to get rid of some certain ones I don't watch as much. I think Netflix is the only one I don't watch that much because I kind of only have it to watch Arrow and Arrow, Flash, and all that, the DC Arrowverse.
I wish the CW app didn't get rid of the old seasons. Then you'd be good
for free. Yeah, that's what sucks is like, well, I could move the CW, but then I went back. I'm like, oh, they're not even in the season. I'm still in.
They drop off after like, I don't know.
Which is what sucks with Hulu as well, too. So
Hulu I dropped a long time ago when basically I think everybody but maybe Amazon lost the Doctor Who the Doctor Who classic license. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing I was keeping Hulu for, because I'd watched old Doctor Who on there. Oh, and when the CW launched their app, because I used to watch Flash and Arrow on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason why I have Hulu is to catch up on like my TV shows like Orville, you know, wrestling or something like that. Designated Survivor when it was out, but now that's actually a Netflix show now.
So the only one I'm paying for right now is Netflix, and I use it a lot. And I do have access to like Hulu, HBO Now, and DC Universe.
I was laughing at that.
Mostly through you, but also like other people too. And Amazon, which I never use. I have access to all these accounts.
Right.
So I kind of have them all. Netflix is the one I watch most of the time.
It's like me paying you back for being a producer of the show. Like, here, DC Universe. I just like, do you have access to HBO Now for this Game of Thrones season? No. I got you, fam.
Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, I never know who, because there's like HBO Now, there's three people that sometimes have it that I sometimes have access to, but they don't all always have it at, you know, whatever.
I usually only have it if I need to get caught up on Westworld, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. It shows good.
I think that I watched that at a bad time. Like, Mira, I told you I was having a hard time catching on to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was messing with a lot of that concussion stuff. And yeah. I think now that I'm more clear-minded, I can, like, I think I'm going to just go back and restart.
It's still going to be confusing, because that's the show.
I think I'm going to go back and restart. But if you're
dealing with a post-concussion issues, I'm sure that's not going to help.
Yeah, I think it was entertaining to me, but I couldn't focus. Like,
mm-hmm.
I would get back on my phone or something like that, but I watched the new Game of Thrones without even looking at my phone once, because I'm like, now I'm in it.
I think what we were saying, though, about like HBO,
mm-hmm.
I think their series are going to start changing. There was, I don't know if it was a article about it recently or something, but I was hearing something recently about basically HBO and maybe other companies want to stop pumping tons of money into these series. Like Game of Thrones and Westworld, super expensive, but they're good. But you know, the idea is they channel all this money into these series. It becomes like the must watch TV show. So they'll get people to subscribe to their stuff, their service. But I think the problem they're having is you can subscribe for a month, binge a whole season of, or whatever, or multiple seasons of this show. They put tons of money, millions and millions of dollars per episode into you. You pay like 10-15 bucks for 1 month, you could just binge it all and then cancel the service. And a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But I think that's where Netflix is smart, in that they're constantly, like, there's new stuff constantly. And they might not have, it's not all like must watch Westworld, Game of Thrones stuff, but like, to me, there's enough on there that is must watch for me. Like, they're killing it with Sabrina. Like, we've only watched one episode of Sabrina season two, but Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, like, I was kind of blown away. I didn't even realize it was this month. Season two is starting. Dude, October, they put up season one. And then like a month later, maybe 2 months later, they had a special. And then they're back like 4 months after that with season two. Whereas there's a lot of shows like Doctor Who. We're not going to have any new Doctor Who this whole year. Like it's going to be like a year and a half between seasons. But Sabrina, 4 months, man. 4 months, like it blows my mind. So more of that.
I think too. I don't know if it is true or if you'd agree with me. I think what's nice about these streaming services, that I think a lot of the young writers and people that have ideas are more eligible to get a show or help with a show, other than people like, it seems like in TV that you kind of have to have experience as a writer.
See, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if.
Like, I think having these kind of things brings out more talent, if that makes sense.
I don't know. Like, possibly, to me, it seems like there are more shows that are willing to take risks and stuff. Melanie and I think Melanie finished it on her own last night, but Melanie and I have been watching season two of, or I guess part two of The OA on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That show's weird. A network would never pick that show up. For that porno.
I was like, whoa.
There was some weird tentacle porn,
and we've gone
aspects in season two. Anyway.
Okay, let me dodge that show.
No, it's good. It's so strange. But but for that matter, Stranger Things, they tried to shop that around to, you know, HBO, networks. Nobody'd pick it up. Netflix picked it up. It's Stranger Things. It's a huge hit. Season 3 coming soon. Oh, I can't wait. So it seems like they're more willing to invest in a risk with some of these shows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my opinion, it pays off because it makes for more interesting TV, more interesting storylines, more unique storylines. I like some weirdness, so I'm good with it. You know, Doom Patrol's weird. It's kind of weird in a broad way, though, I guess. You know, it's kind of a broad, more of a broad comedy. But even that's pretty strange. But I think it also has an effect on traditional cable channels because that makes me think of Legion, which is another, you know, it was FX. It's an FX show. The weirdest superhero TV show or property really being made in live action for a medium right now. Super weird, but awesome. I think final season starting soon. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. I feel like part of it's HBO. Their willingness to with Sopranos, they kind of launched themselves in like, you know, we can do quality TV, premium TV. So I think they're a big cause for them being able to, I don't know. I can't get too far into it because I'll just trace it all back to Twin Peaks in the early 90s. So let's just end this conversation now. Or Buffy. You got to mention Buffy.
I do believe in a sense that it is bringing out more talent because it seems like show writing has got a lot better lately. And there's a lot more gotta see shows.
Dude, I will agree. Especially right now. There's still lulls occasionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Melanie will come over on the weekends. We watch a lot of TV. And especially lately, it's been like there are too many shows to fit in to a weekend.
Yeah.
We're watching, well, like I said, she finished OA, but we're watching the OA. Game of Thrones just started. So we're going to be watching that. Doom Patrol. I'm watching Teen Titans on my own. Sabrina. What else? We blew through Umbrella Academy. Like,
was that one good?
Yeah.
Umbrella Academy. Oh, yeah. I want to start it, but I didn't.
Yeah, watch it. It's good.
That's my problem, though, is I get started on a show, it's close. And then I want to go back to the show I was just watching, and I never go back.
Melanie, okay, so in my mind, if you want to try to, like, separate these superhero shows, it's not super meta at all. It's not meta, really, but I would group it with Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
It would go in a group with Doom Patrol. Melanie likes Umbrella Academy better. She's like, well, Doom Patrol's no Umbrella Academy. I like Doom Patrol a lot better. Point is, yeah, it's good. It's fun. It's a little goofy. It's a little goofy. It's fun. It's got some interesting concepts going on. That, for me, that's really what hooked me, is like there's some interesting ideas in there. The characters, but yeah.
I've kind of seen moments of Umbrella Academy over my buddy's shoulder at work. Like, watched basically an episode with him. I kind of still like Doom Patrol better. Like, but, you know, I have to watch the show to see what's going on.
Jasper, this, I don't think this is a pre-show anymore.
This is an actual episode.
There's 5 Mondays this month, which means there's a Monday where we didn't have anything going out. Now we have something going out, which is good and bad. It's good because it's
get ready, it's get
stuff
ready
for you, listener. It's bad because it's another thing I have to edit. Oh boy!
Well, it's gonna do as good as the outtake did.
The greatest TV shows Jasper's never watched. But he had, or the greatest TV shows Jasper's watched this week. Listen to us.
How many episodes is Game of Thrones supposed to be this season?
I don't know.
12?
No, 6, 8, something small.
6 or 8, yeah. I thought it was 8.
Might be. I'm not super up on it.
Yeah. But that's what I always like tell, like we were talking about this a little bit ago. That's what I like about this kind of subscription service, because my friend's like, oh, I haven't watched Game of Thrones. Go get HBO Now for a month. And you're fine.
Yeah, you can blaze through it.
You know, he's like, oh, the DVDs are, you know, expensive. I'm like, just get HBO Now, man. Like,
don't let HBO. I think that's the problem. I think I like this current. I don't like having like so many streaming services to where you're going to end up paying $100 a month on 8 different streaming services to watch your shows. However, this is exactly what I've been wanting. Ever since I complained about cable, I'm like, why do you have these little packages where like you have to buy an extra package because they have one channel you want, and then they lump 100 channels in there. Why can't it just be pick and choose? I want this channel, this one, this one. And that's basically what we have now. HBO.
And now Sling's doing it where you can pick a live channel you want and then get also the HBO Now package.
AMC, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it is kind of exactly what I want. That said, I think they're starting to realize, like, I don't know that the business is going to be behind them in terms of buy our service for a month and then cancel. Like, I don't think that's going to change the current model eventually.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of like HBO where they just basically do it by the week that it comes out. You know, like, it still releases like a show.
I don't know how Netflix is sustainable, but, well, I guess I kind of
wish they would not give you a whole season at once, because I kind of like to wait a little bit. Yeah, release the season, but just do it weekly, you know?
I've noticed they do that with some shows. Kind of frustrating. I hadn't watched Better Call Saul for a long time. Like, I think I'd watched the first season when it started, but then I didn't have AMC, so I just never really watched it.
Have you watched the entirety of Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I haven't.
I
need to.
I loved Breaking Bad. But then, not long ago, maybe a year ago, but not long ago, I caught up on Better Call Saul. And part of that was on Netflix because they had this past season. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to try this show. And it's good. And I binged through it up till, like, you know, a season behind. Well, Better Call Saul is a Netflix original now.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a weird deal worked out with AMC. Wait, is it AMC? I think it was AMC.
That had, AMC.
Where AMC still also had it.
Mm-hmm.
So when a new episode would come out, AMC would get it, and then the next night, Netflix would get it. So it was released on Netflix week to week. But for whatever reason...
Kind of like Hulu does now, where a new show, mm-hmm. the new episode comes out the night after.
And Netflix does that with other shows too.
Mm-hmm.
But what was irritating to me is it would be released like the next day, or maybe even that night, week to week, in other countries, but not in America. In America, we still had to wait till it was ran its course on AMC, and then we get it a year later.
Right.
And I'm assuming that's because of whatever deal Netflix worked out with AMC. They're like, yeah, no, you can carry the new show if you help produce it, but not in America, because that's our market. That's where people watch, you know, whatever. So that frustrated me a little bit. And I'm always nervous about doing the VPN thing. I did watch a few episodes where I was like, computer, tell the internet I'm in England. There we go. But, you can't do that when you stream it to the TV through Chromecast, so, whatever.
Do you like when Netflix resurrects a series or picks up a series to have as their own?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with it. Because, I mean, obviously, if they picked it up and it sucked, that I wouldn't want that. But because it gives shows that get canceled on networks a chance. Like I've mentioned on Grolic several times, I've been into, like, the kind of Nordic noir type shows, like moody detective shows, I call them. And I recently started watching, and I know it's a remake of a foreign series, but The Killing, mm-hmm. which ran on maybe AMC or FX or something for 3 seasons. And it's good. I think it ran 3 seasons on AMC or FX or whatever channel it was on, and then got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that because they have 4 seasons on Netflix, because Netflix picked it up for, I think it was maybe a shorter season, but to finish the series out. And in that case, yeah, I loved it. Sometimes you can kind of tell. You can tell that there's been a production change. But for the most part, the writing and they usually have the same actors come back. Like, the writing's decent. So, like, yeah, I'm pretty good with it. The one instance in which I was not super wild about what Netflix did with it, well, maybe two. A lot of people would say Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind. I didn't watch if the most recent season's launched, I haven't watched it. But I didn't mind what they did with season the first Netflix season. But Thick of It, they picked up the Thick of It, which is a UK show that I liked quite a bit. It had Peter Capaldi. It was really good. The last season, or the Netflix season, was very different. And it wasn't bad, and I was glad to have more of it, but I was not super wild about it. So it doesn't always pan out. But for the most part, I'm good with it. It makes me think of, like, this is Showtime, but Showtime brought back Twin Peaks. And Twin Peaks is very polarizing anyway, but the season's very polarizing even amongst Twin Peaks fans. But I loved it. So, yeah, if we can get more stuff like that, I'm down for it.
Because I was just wondering, because I know a lot, some people are kind of, it seemed on like Reddit and stuff that they're kind of on the fence about it. Like, oh, I don't want Netflix picking this up to ruin it or something. But it seemed to me that every time Netflix picked up a show, it got better.
Sometimes it's just going to be weird because there's Arrested Development. There's many, many years between.
Mm.
I didn't like Full House, so I never watched Fuller House.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't care. They did make a sequel to a movie, though, once. And I don't, maybe they didn't make it. Maybe it's one of those things where some random little studio made it and they picked it up. But there's a Netflix original film that's a sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Light of the Sword, Sword of the Dragon. I don't know what it's called. Crap movie. Horrible movie.
Right.
Don't do that. I don't like that.
Because I will also say, like,
bad movie.
And even in, like, originals, like, Netflix is getting really good with their movies. You know, I think they pull in equally new talent and experienced talent to make those movies. The huge hit that Bird Box was, I never watched it myself, but
I did watch it. It was okay. I will say, though, one side effect, because it feels like, well, there's so many new shows now, but I don't think it's, I mean, there are a lot of new good shows, but I think also one thing I do appreciate a lot about the Netflix original situation specifically is access to shows that otherwise I'd never see. A lot of, like, half of the Netflix originals, at least maybe 75% of the Netflix originals I watch that I discovered on Netflix and that I like a lot, especially the moody detective shows, they're all foreign shows that they pick up as a Netflix original and stream on the service. But they were actually produced by whatever company in wherever country and aired over there. I love it because there's a lot of good foreign shows that you're not going to get those on the network. You're going to get the inferior American remake of it, you know, like even something like Broadchurch is an awesome show. You know, it's got David Tennant. It's a British show. Watch that. Instead, they remade it. I don't know what network. I never watched it, but they remade it with David Tennant doing an American accent and not Olivia Colman over here. And I did not hear great things. And I'm like, well, why did they do that? Just play Broadchurch.
Yeah.
It's an English language show. But even that, like, there's a lot of, since Netflix finally fixed their subtitle issue, because their subtitles used to, like, was unwatchable to me for a while because the timing was off. It would constantly flash a line for half a second at you and then disappear. And it's like, well, I don't know what's going on in the show. They fixed that.
Or they'd put it right in the middle of the screen. That was kind of,
I don't know if I've ever had that.
I've had that twice.
Weird.
Especially Into the Badlands. It, like, pops it up next to Daniel Wu's head. And I'm like, why is it up here? Like,
is it him saying it?
Yeah.
Is it like a stylistic thing maybe?
No, it'd be like here and then it'll move to the top and then bottom.
But since it's behaving, the subtitles are behaving normally for me. Yeah, there's a lot of shows I've started watching that would never get picked up in for a network over here. So I'm glad. I'm all about it. And I know I'm complaining about that now. And I had just said I watched the American version of The Killing, but I can't find the non-American one. Maybe it's on Netflix. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I can't find it. So, but yeah, TV, man, it's good right now.
Right.
It's good.
And another question, do you think, now, I was kind of thinking this too, because we were talking about DC Universe and how it has some of their old shows. Now, it doesn't have anything that's currently running on the CW, as we said. But do you think once Arrow concludes, do you think Arrow will join? Or will CW try to keep that on their site?
I don't know what kind of deal. Are any of the CW shows on there right now?
No, Constantine is, I believe.
Oh, that doesn't really count.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really theirs. NBC. But yeah, kind of that. I meant to say in that same Arrowverse. That makes me think, once Arrow concludes, now is it the Flashiverse?
It was always the Flashiverse. It might have started with Arrow. It took off for me with Flash. Arrow, no. Okay, I gotta give Arrow props because, and I did watch the first few seasons, I think, until it really took a horrible nosedive. And it was always cheesy, but the reason we have any of those shows is because of Arrow, because they did a fairly decent job given that it's CW still and it still feels like CW, which is a con for me. But given that they're working with CW, they did a reasonably good job at producing an entertaining show that managed to catch on. The only reason we have The Flash against Gorilla Grodd on live action CW television is because Arrow caught on. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all good. I think it's always like with that too, kind of going back to, you know, what can these DC Universe shows spawn? You know, like what, how many series can they write on this? I think you can tell Arrow was the first series up, and then they kind of use that as a jump off point to mm-hmm. start these other shows. That's why I really think they're getting rid of or stopping Arrow is to let these other shows grow into their own.
Are they ending it?
Yeah, it'll be done after this fall.
Well, that just means their season or their ratings are sagging.
Yeah, well, and apparently at the start of this season, Stephen Amell said he's done playing the Arrow. Hmm. So he's like, I need to take on. He took on apparently another role in either a movie or another show, and he wants to stop being the Arrow. Which, I mean, they could almost technically write him out.
Oh, easily.
Mm-hmm. Could just be about his sister at this. Because, like, I'm still in season 3, and yeah, this could be about his sister and be a show.
I fell off, unfortunately, because I really did enjoy The Flash, and I did like what they were doing with Legends, but I fell off all of them.
I will agree to this. I love the Arrow character, and that's why I still watch it. There's some points where the show falls off for me, and you can tell it was kind of a lull in the writing. But Flash's production is way better, and the story arc is a little bit better. I kind of didn't like how they handled the last of season 1 in a sense. Like, there is some really good scenes in that last episode, but also like oh well, you can't really beat the Reverse Flash technically, you know, because he could just keep rewriting time or whatever.
We're so behind. You're so behind.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
I know what happens.
I'm behind and I'm still like 2 seasons ahead of you.
Yeah, I know what happens later. I accidentally read ahead on something I was looking up to answer a question in the first season. But my problem is when I start reading, I don't stop. And so I kind of spoiled quite a few things for myself. But the production value is way better in Flash than it is in Arrow. You can tell they spent more time on Flash.
One thing I enjoyed doing while watching the Flash seasons was you can tell where they put their money in the season, because each season they have a set amount of money to work with. And anytime there's a lot of CG or they have a CG villain or something, that's where their money went. And you could we'd be watching episodes and I'd be like, they kind of saved money on this episode. Not a whole lot going on. I mean, it's not bad, but you know, not a whole lot of action. Just pretty low key. That means in either next episode or in a couple episodes here down the road, we're going to get a big CG action scene. And every time it would happen. So it's kind of fun to watch. You can tell where they're putting their money and where they're not putting their money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now that it looks like we might have to record our actual episode tomorrow. But going back to Doom Patrol, because I just keep wanting to go back, because I personally like that it's not as dark,
mm-hmm.
but it's more light, like especially like the story. The story is kind of dark.
Oh, yeah.
But
like the overall tone of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. It's fun. Like, I mean, there's serious stuff, you know. It still goes for character beats, you know, character moments. So it's going to have a little bit of drama, some serious moments, try to have some heart occasionally. But the general tone of it is, yeah, it's fun. It's kind of goofy. It's super meta and no pun intended. Yeah, I don't know. It is lighter. The other obvious thing to look at, because I'm assuming it's probably similar in production, you know, similar production, is Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Where Titans, it's not as dour as I expected, but it's serious.
Yeah.
It's serious as a heart attack.
Has much a darker tone.
And it's very, yeah, it's much darker. It's more serious. It's like everybody's a little bit more moody, even though it's kind of the joke in the Doom Patrol that everyone's moody. Like in Titans, everyone's just moody. Doom Patrol's so much more fun. Like even though the characters are all jerks and they're all like freaks and in a bad way, like they have nothing good. Like, it's still way more fun. They're useless. Like it's a, and they set it up in the super ultra meta narration, like in the first 2 minutes of the show. Like this isn't, you know, another superhero show. You're probably about ready to kill yourself. And it's so funny because before I started watching that, I was telling Melanie, I was like, there's so many shows I want to check out, but they're all superhero. Can't we get a not superhero show? That's good. And then we started watching that, and I was like, well, this knows. They know. They know.
They're playing into it. They know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they suck you in. I mean, because they're like, oh, we know what we're doing, but we're going to do it well. Like,
we're going to do this anyway. We know it's ridiculous.
Come along for the ride. But yeah, I mean, and the point is like, it's a quote unquote superhero show. And yeah, they have powers or he's a robot or whatever. They're all completely useless. I guess the robot guy's kind of strong. The one guy has an entity that I'm assuming is powerful that lives inside of him. What good does that do him? Because right. if it comes out, he just passes out and it does whatever it wants to do. The one chick turns into a blob and can do anything with it. Like, they're completely useless. And that's the show. And that's, I love that. Like,
right.
the idea that it's a superhero team, but they're not heroes and they're not like doing it. They can't do anything. And that's the idea. Yeah. That's what's fun about it. It's that.
As season one concludes of Doom Patrol, we should do a Grawlix Prime.
You're going to come on Grawlix Prime with us and talk to Doom Patrol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Season one. Like,
yeah, I'm 100% down.
Yeah, but that's why I'm trying like not to talk about the show, because especially because people may have not seen it yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, they're doing the week-to-week thing too.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize. Yeah, I think it's a good call. This is officially not a pre-show anymore, right? This is just what we're recording.
Yeah.
We're going to record the actual episode later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay,
if you're available.
How did we just spend an hour?
Because it's so damn good.
So
it's the only show I watched that I was like, Randy is gonna like this. Like, because uh-huh. usually I don't know your taste too well.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like watching, I'm like, dude, I think Randy's gonna dig this show. And that's why I was like, because I had already had the idea to purchase DC Universe, but I'm like, for one, with the comics, I like, I have to share this with Randy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, this show Randy has to watch. Like,
dude.
Because I wanted your take on it, and that's why I'm like, right now I'm thinking, I was like, this would make a good Grawlix Prime episode.
So these both, yeah, no, it would. And if we do cover it on Grawlix Prime, I will wait till we can cover it with you, but also probably after Doom Patrol concludes.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is week to week. I was scrolling down to see how many episodes were left, and I was like, wait, what's this? They're locked?
But I like how it tells you what days are coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doom Patrol got me super excited, and then I checked out Titans, and I was like, got even more excited because I expected Titans to really suck, and it was good. These shows got me super excited for Swamp Thing, which mm-hmm. I was hesitant about because I love some Swamp Thing. And if handled right, Swamp Thing could be a great horror series or movie. I just don't think it's ever really been handled right.
It's supposed to be a series at this point.
It is a series.
Yeah, at this point, it's supposed to be a series.
On DC Universe. So like after watching these shows, I was like, I started getting super excited. I was like, whoa, they actually might handle this right. Like this might be decent. They might put effort into this.
They seem like they have a game plan for this universe. You
well, here's the thing though. Just before you got here today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listener, we're recording this. I don't know. I think almost just shy of 2 weeks before this will actually go up on the feed. So there's probably more news about it or more information about it by now. But just today, they cut the production of Swamp Thing short. I don't know why. Nobody seems to know why. I couldn't find any concrete stories, but I did find some like, basically at this point, it was just like something, one of the actors of the show had made up some post. Like there was a rumor, some actor made a post that kind of confirmed that they cut the season short and then deleted the post. And then, but also then I seen screenshots of somebody else who's connected to it, who said, yeah, they, you know, this is, I don't know why they're doing this, but basically, so they put a bunch of money into the show. So they're invested. It's supposed to be 13 episodes and they cut production at 10 episodes. And the way it sounds is it's like, they're not like, well, we're just going to compress this down to 10 episodes. It was, they have episodes left to film that they're just not going to film.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Like it hasn't even aired yet. And they sound like they canceled it after investing like $45 million into it and not finish shooting the whole season. And it's still set to like debut in a few weeks. What is that? So I'm really hoping that's not the case. Maybe it's just some weird rumors that kind of ran wild, but.
See now, do they feel that the first season, looking at it, because they see it as a whole right now. Did the season go too long and they're cutting season one to 10 episodes and then the last three are going to be what is part of season two? Or does the person making it feel that it's not up to par where they want it to
be? Oh man, I hope that's not it.
You know, and then
they're going to Suicide Squad this crap.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It sounded like it was just done.
That would suck because I think
Why would they do it? Like, unless suddenly Warner Brothers was like, you know what, this DC Universe app, it's not working, or these, whatever, we're not going to do this anymore. It just doesn't seem likely after investing that much money into it. Maybe it's not making enough money to justify the whole DC Universe app experiment. But like, they've only done what, the two shows? Like, how you can't do two single seasons and then decide, yeah, this isn't working. Like, it seems weird if that were the case. Unless it was like, they're like, this show's god awful. What are you guys doing? This is canceled. They're still going to run it though, I think.
That's my thing. Like, I wonder if it's to a point where like the focus groups didn't like it, or there's not enough story direction. Because, I mean, there's a crap ton of Swamp Thing comics, isn't there?
There's so much they could do with Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever happens, maybe, hopefully, that's all weird, elaborate rumors. Or, I don't know, there will be more information about it in the future. But, yeah, after watching...
It does scare me that I would think that DC would say something about the rumors. Like, you know, this is what our plan is.
I mean...
But also putting word out on it, it might be detrimental. You know.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's been debunked by now, or maybe there's been more concrete information before this episode even goes out. Point is, I'm super excited. I'm still excited to see what it is. I hope. But, you know, that, of course, you know, I always got to put a little kibosh on whatever Randy's super excited about. It's always got to be something.
Especially because it's swampy.
Dude, that's exactly it. Like, Swamp Thing. Oh, one other thing I do want to say. If they manage to hook me into a ridiculous super adult Titans show, and then they're like, yeah, we're gonna do Swamp Thing, yeah, it better be great. They got me. I'm excited. But watching Titans,
I'd be so mad if they like try to make Swamp Thing the G-rated show. Be like, no.
Why would they do a R-rated Titans and then like tone down like, Swamp
why would
Thing?
They change it? Why would they?
A Swamp Thing was like the first DC book that just straight up dropped the comics authority code off of it. It'd be ridiculous not to do that. Anyway, so I was watching Titans. Now, I don't watch Gotham, which is unfortunate, because if I had watched Gotham, I had that interview with Z-Chun on Grolix Prime not long ago. Z-Chun, who was the supervising producer on this last season of Gotham that just wrapped up. I didn't even talk to him much about Gotham because I haven't been watching it. But, so Gotham aside, that ain't Batman. That ain't Batman. Watching Titans. Oh, see, they're not canceling it because I just read news also that they cast, I can't remember who it is, but it's somebody I see and I was like, okay, I guess so. They cast a Bruce Wayne for season 2 of Titans.
Okay.
Which means they're getting over the, like, you know, none of the big movie characters can be in the TV shows. I mean, Cyborg's in this, so obviously they're done with that, you know. But I want a Batman show now because I think it could actually work. Gotham, like, I kind of like the look of Gotham, but...
But not a G-rated. Like, not Gotham. They need on par with
Titans. Well, I mean, Gotham's not G-rated, but it is still TV.
They need on par with Titans and Doom Patrol type Batman.
Because, so, Titans, the main... Well, one of the main characters is Dick Grayson, first Robin. They'll do, like, flashbacks to when he was younger, you know, because he was raised by Bruce Wayne after his parents died and all this, blah, blah, blah. And they haven't had Bruce Wayne in there. They've had a silhouette of a guy who's supposed to be Bruce Wayne, you know, yeah, or somebody in the foreground, but it's clear they're like, they were intentionally not showing Bruce Wayne. They don't have a specific actor for it, or they're not supposed to use him explicitly. It's just, it's Bruce Wayne. He's there, but you don't really interact with him or Batman. But they, you know, obviously they talk about Batman a lot. F Batman. But every time they go to Gotham or they go do a flashback to Wayne Manor, or there's been like, I don't know if they're in the actual Batcave or like one of the little bat dens that he's got hidden somewhere, but they go to a Batcave type place and like the look of it, the tone of the scene, and then the music also, like they nail the music. It sounds, it's not like the Tim Burton Batman movie scores, like it's not those scores, but they use those like low cellos and strings and just those certain instruments that definitely conjure that feel.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it, I'm like, why am I watching Titans? Why am I just watching Batman? That'd be so much better. This tone, you're nailing it right here.
Right.
And then, you know, then he'll leave and they'll go do Titan stuff. But it's time for a live action Batman series that's actually good.
I did like that point, that moment in the first episode where he's like kind of shows up and he's supposed to be the badass and they immediately look for Batman. Like
that made the F Batman make sense. Mm-hmm. Because that was the thing everybody like, you know, that was them when they released that trailer initially, that was everybody like, this ain't your teens Titans, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. But the F Batman moment was what we grabbed onto, what everybody latched onto, like, oh, what's this? Also, I'm pretty sure in that fight scene, and I watched it twice now, you know, watching it myself and then rewatching the episode with Melanie. Supposedly, he doesn't kill anybody.
Oh, he kills people.
He killed some people in that fight scene. Like, they might not play it off like he did, but he did. I seen him. Like,
especially shot two of them.
Dude, two of them get shot. Like, a dude takes the R to the eye. Like, that's a murder fight scene.
Yeah, he killed him.
And I know, like, I mean, he didn't really kill him in the storyline. He doesn't kill people, but, like, dude, they wanted to go super brutal and then pretend like it's not lethal force. That's definitely lethal force.
Because Grayson is the one that turns into
Nightwing.
What's the one that turns into
Red Hood?
Red Hood.
Jason Todd.
Because then he kills people, but then he has the Red Hood.
Yeah. Oh. Well, he should. He doesn't always. Sometimes when he's a good guy, he doesn't. He has
he's the one
with rubber bullets.
Okay. He's the one with the guns.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
But, you know, rubber bullets. Don't give your character, if your character has guns and that's his primary mode of like fighting, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
Just saying. Mm-hmm. In a world where like you got Batman with no superpowers who punches people in the face and he's still a good guy, you're not a good guy if you shoot people with guns.
Right.
Anyway.
Kind of like the Batman thing when he throws his battery and hits that guy in the head. Yeah. He's like, he just went to sleep. He's
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
No, he's dead.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So. Anyway, God, we are all over the place, Jasper, and we're going to wrap this up real soon. So what I was saying before we got sidetracked 100 times over about the F Batman thing was I did appreciate that scene, and it made the F Batman thing make sense because Robin shows up, and I got a chuckle out of it. Robin shows up, and everybody's like, just ignore him, and they start looking around. Where's Batman? Where's Batman? It's just like because Robin's not a threat. They're like, oh, Robin's here. The real threat is Batman. Where's he at?
Right.
And that makes him mad.
He's like the precursor for the bat to show up.
Yeah. And he's like, it's just me. And then he beats the crap out of him. So it made the F Batman thing make extra sense because it's like, okay, I get it. Like, because if that were the case, I'd be like, Batman, man, I'm going to beat you up. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Because it's always been that Robin shows up first, but then Batman, he uses basically Robin as a decoy. And then he messes everybody up. But.
So I was a little thrown. I know in the comics, Dick Grayson gets super, when he splits from Batman, like it's negative. It's kind of like it is in the show. It's very negative. He's very angry and anti-Bruce, anti-Batman for a long time. But I was like, why are they going to do this kind of moody Robin and make it Dick Grayson? Why wouldn't they just do like a Jason Todd? Without getting into spoilers, maybe a little spoilers, Jason Todd comes into the series eventually. And it's like, oh, no, never mind. That's more appropriate for Jason Todd right there. Yeah. Jason Todd, he's not a good guy. He's not a good Robin.
Right.
Oh, the kid that cast him is almost perfect, though, because he's such a douche. Such a bro douche.
I like Raven, too. Raven's.
Yeah, I think she's okay. Actually, for the most part, really like the casting. I think the guy that plays Dick Grayson, I think he's pretty good. I think he plays it too moody, but that's where Dick Grayson's at, blah blah blah. Like Dick Grayson seems like a more of a lighthearted fun guy to me.
Yeah.
Even when he's being moody, in the fact even though he's a detective, like an actual police detective. But I don't know. I think he looks the part. Like he looks like a good Dick Grayson. Starfire is the interesting casting because like Starfire's orange. Like what are you gonna do? So I like what they did. I like what they did with casting with her. And I really like the lady that plays her. I think she's actually really good. She's charming, this lady. She's charming.
Yeah.
They're doing the amnesia thing. So like that's not the most interesting material I'm supposed to work with. But she comes across pretty naturally and I like her. She's got good presence.
It's a totally different thing from when there was original, not Teen Titans Go, but the original Titans animated. Where she kind of played like dumb.
I also appreciated, and again, since first episode, you know, I just rewatched it with Melanie. It's fresh. When she kind of like starts to discover like she's super strong, you know, before she does the like disco song
fire ignite scene towards the end. She punches she gives the guy like a super punch and he goes flying across this hotel room. And I appreciate like that dude was jacked up. Like he coughing up blood and stuff. And I liked the idea that they actually went with he's a normal human who just got super punched to the chest. He's not just going to get up and limp off. He's got internal bleeding. He's probably going to die. He needs to go to a hospital. So I like that they actually handled it that way because you see it in comics a lot, but even still you see it in TV shows where they're superheroes and occasionally they'll give a normal human a punch harder than there should be. Or anytime a human in a TV show or movie takes a punch and goes flying across the room, most of the time they'll get up and like, oh, that hurt, and they'll run off. In reality, they're staying down and they're probably going to die because they have internal hemorrhaging. So I appreciated the within this superhero ridiculous TV show, that little bit of realism.
Right.
That's how you make ridiculous superhero stuff good. If you're going to do a live action, you place it in a real world and then you still play by the real world rules.
Yeah, you got to make it as realistic as possible.
Yeah, within reason. And yeah, still retaining the spirit of it. Then you snap his neck and walk away.
Yeah, because I mean, like, even in the cartoon, throwing a batarang at somebody is going to stick in them and hurt them pretty badly, Especially, that's a hard, a hard wound to get sewed up.
I mean, I know I say that, and then, no, you're right, because in TV shows, cartoons, comic books, even Batman, who doesn't have superpowers, he's attacking normal people with force that would probably maim or kill people easily.
Right.
Occasionally the comics, like some writer will do a story that touches on that. I think Grant Morrison, although he did it in a super cartoony kind of cheesy way, but he did this thing where basically there was this kind of band of rejects that grouped together to become kind of a villain. I don't know where it even panned out to, but a villain group. There's a group of villains that were basically minor villains that got like seriously injured by Batman. And that was like their thing. They all hated Batman because they were just like either regular people or small time people who like got life altering injuries from Batman. And one of them, it's so dumb. One of them had like a batarang stuck half in his head. So he was like brain damaged. It's like, what? But I like that idea though. Still, it's still a fun idea of like, yeah, no, even Batman cripples people regularly, and they touch on that in TV shows and or in movies.
That's always kind of thought was funny with like the Batman games, because there was always like that move where you could throw like multiple batarangs to like deflect them off of you, and I'm like, those would all stick in his skin. Like it wouldn't just glance off like,
See, so I'm good with some suspension of disbelief. It's still superheroes. I still want to see like unrealistic feats of ability and skill.
Right.
Batman doesn't have superpowers, but he can still like take a fall off a building in certain situations. Like, fine, I'm fine with it. But where, you can give something a little extra edge or like more interesting flair when you can put it into the real world in a way that still gels with what else is going on.
I think really in conclusion, all this talk would be
in conclusion, sir, what's your thesis?
I think that especially DC Universe has a pretty good step in the right direction, but I kind of think with comic book or superhero shows per se, I think they're going to start trying to set a new precedent of, this is not your kids' show, because most like we said previously, that it's mostly adults that watch or kind of read and stuff, comics, and keep tabs on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is. That's their,
like, let Marvel have the cinematic universe with their show, their movies for everybody, but get real about, because I mean, like, was the original Batman was a killer, wasn't he?
Way back.
I'm saying that because initially. I've never read the previous comics, but
Oh like, yeah, he killed people at the very beginning of the run.
I remember seeing the late 30s. I remember seeing what was it? I think it was batarangs holding up, but it was Joker's face, the skin to his face held up by like batarangs or something.
To be fair, Batman didn't skin Joker's face. Joker did. Actually, Joker had, that was fairly recent. That's in the last.
But I remember opening a comic and I just never thought I'd see that. Like, I always thought comics were, not saying comics were.
See, kids. And that's, oh, see, and that's the general consensus, right? Like, comics are for kids. Like, holy because crap. A long time comics were for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But kids aren't who's buying comics, it's adults. So that's who a lot of the stories are made for now.
I was told by a couple of my friends when I was reading comics right after we were talking about starting the GCU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were going to our little comic store, a comic for kids. I'm like, oh, really? You want to read this one real quick and make sure that's, would this be something you give your child? You know?
Dollmaker. That Joker had Dollmaker, I think it was, cut off his face.
But that was it was a gruesome picture to open it. I was like,
dude, whoa. Some of that stuff, there was some awe. There was some gnarly artwork from that. That was, that happened right at the beginning of the New 52. And I think that was kind of DC's way of taking Joker off the table for a while. So that people basically just couldn't use him until they're like, it's time to return the Joker. And then he'd show up wearing his dead skin mask. Like, it's a very different Joker. But man, there was some awesome artwork. Even in some of the tie-in stories to the big, like when Joker returned, like the story was might be lacking, but like the artist nailed it. I want to say there was a Batman and Robin issue, I think it was, where under, of course, it was just like muscle and funk, but he like strapped his old face on and it was all yellowy and dead and nasty. But like half the time he's wearing it upside down. So he's looking through the mouth holes and like you can kind of see his teeth through the eye holes. And I was like, dude, that is, whoa, that is gnarly. Like I really like some of the artwork from that.
Right.
But yeah. So Free Comic Book Day, which is coming up soon, if not already May. Happened by the time.
I believe it's mid-May now. May 12th.
Next month.
Yeah. I believe it's May 12th.
Yeah. It's coming up soon. So that's...
I missed last year, which sucked.
A Free Comic Book Day is all about getting new readers in. Hey, come get a free comic. And also, like, and you should. It's not all comics. It's not just you walk in and grab a free comic. There's designated comics are free that, you know...
Yeah, they don't want to give away their good stuff.
The comic shops still even have to pay for those. I mean, it's not full price, I'm assuming, but they still have to pay for that. But those are, yeah, the publishers made these. This is free. This is for the Free Comic Book Day. And the idea is to get new people in. If you're going to go into Free Comic Book Day, listener, you should. And if you've never been into a comic shop, look around and buy something. At least one other thing. Because it does cost shops money to
do all that. Which is what we did when we went. We got the free comic and then we also bought some new comics we wanted to read.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, comics are still comparatively fairly cheap. If you're buying them on the regular, they get very expensive quick. But a big part especially of a free comic...
Your pull box go for...
let's not talk about this. I feel bad for that. Whatever. I'm killing the comics industry. That's who's killing the comics industry. So...
We picked those up. Now you just hear a portal. Meh.
But it's also to get younger people reading. Because they constantly are trying... They're trying to get kids to read. Most of the comics... Although when you walk into a comic shop, you look at the new... comic rack, most of those are not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you take your kid in there, like the comics are the same. You can't walk into a video store and put them and just like, here, grab whatever you want and not, and then get upset when they grab a rated R movie. A lot of comics are geared towards older readers, but there's a ton of course, there's tons of kids comics. And so the industry is always trying to get more kids because that's the next generation of consumers. But yeah, if you're taking your kids into a comic shop, comics are rated, like video games and movies. They're self-rated. Like there's a T for teen. And is it M or AO? I don't know. No, AO's like...
Adults only.
Yeah, but that's...
It's like porn.
I think it might be mature, might be what they call it. There's T for teen, or maybe it's A... I don't know.
MA.
Basically, if something's super... The T for teen is a little extreme.
Push that boundary a little bit.
They do. It's like PG. It's like PG-13. It used to be you can't drop any F-bombs. Then you can drop an F-bomb. And now it seems like you could drop a couple F-bombs. Like, a little extreme. But generally, if it's in the comic shop, if it's the equivalent of R-rated, it's sealed in a bag. So they try to help. But as with anything, like your parents, you got to do your job as a parent.
Right.
Don't get upset when they're reading something with Joker's face ripped off and stuff like... Just because it's Batman don't mean nothing.
Right.
So if anything, maybe that's the edgy DC movies have maybe kind of enforced that fact. I don't know.
There's always a little bit of people, but like, she's complaining about kids playing games. And it's like, well, you bought them for them.
I know, right?
Because even at my age now, GameStop still IDs me. So, but I look like a 12-year-old boy. So,
and I think video games is a bigger thing. So maybe it's gotten through more people, but maybe not. They're still like, video games are for kids. Except that's not who's playing them. The majority of people playing games is somebody. Listen, might be a generation of man children. I don't know. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying people that grew up in the 80s and 90s playing video games and reading comic books, they kept doing those things and the industry followed them.
So right.
So that's what we're, why you're going to, yeah, I don't know. I get upset about the whole like people getting upset.
I feel
about,
like you want to go on a rant, but you're stopping yourself. Dude,
I get upset. Yeah. Because I get upset about people be like, when they get upset, when they find like adult content in video games or comic books and they're like, oh, but the kids, what about them? It's not the publisher's job to regulate what your kid consumes. It's not like you're picking up a, you know, My Little Pony where it's just nothing but glittery, shiny happiness on the cover. And then you open it up and there's pony boobs. That's online. That's not,
that's rule 34.
You can find that, but you gotta be looking for it.
Right.
If it's,
and most people do,
if it's mature comic books, movies, video games, they have a rating system.
Yeah.
And that's for you to make it easier for you to do your job as a parent.
That's why I wasn't totally surprised when that whole hot coffee GTA controversy came out. Because I was like, it's a GTA game. What, did you really think that couldn't happen in that kind of universe? Like,
well, it's like, yeah, it's Grand Theft Auto. It's a game where you play a career criminal.
You steal cars. Criminal.
Why are you getting upset?
There's strip clubs that you can walk
into.
It's
rated M.
Yeah.
You're not, your kid's not even supposed to have it.
My kid played it. It's not rated adults only. Well, it's rated mature for 18 and up. You know, I hated when our parents took away video games, but then I'm like, yeah, maybe my brain wasn't kind of ready for that kind of mature rated game. But now that I see it, like how mature games have been, like Grand Theft Auto, your kid should not be playing that game.
No.
Like, they should be at a point where they can think and, you know, dictate what's real and what's fantasy.
Likewise, you don't censor R-rated movies. Again, that's not a great example because they do, but that's usually whatever for marketing reasons. But it's the same thing. You're not going to show a kid Goodfellas and get upset when there's adult content in it. It's Goodfellas. What did you think it was going to be?
Right.
Like, if it's not appropriate for your kid, why are you letting this kid have it? It's the exact same thing. The idea then, if somebody like show their kid Goodfellas and there's like demands that all copies of Goodfellas come down and that the offending scenes are edited out, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous concept.
Right.
Whatever. I grew up on Mortal Kombat. Like, I was a Mortal Kombat fanatic. So
it still makes me laugh to this day because my dad may hear this podcast.
This is the thing that's irritated me for decades.
So my dad, and he knows this. Again, if he listens, hi, Dad. But
hi, Jaspy Dad.
When we went with him on the weekends, he bought us our first Nintendo, or Nintendo 64. He, at the time, he was very religious. And so he'd made us take Zelda back for witchcraft, okay?
That's so funny. But Nintendo's so careful about that stuff.
Guess what game
he
let us keep?
Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat. He let us keep Mortal Kombat over Zelda. And Mortal Kombat, you can pull people's spines out. And then he let us buy Claymaker 63 and a third. Which is another bad game.
It's so amazing the past that violence gets.
Mm-hmm. You take Zelda, which...
Witchcraft.
For witchcraft.
But Mortal Kombat, like, you can conjure... There's a guy that steals people's souls.
Yeah. And rips...
And there's witches.
And rips their... Yeah. And rips their spines out.
So...
Breaks their heads, splatter blood.
It's so weird the past that violence gets.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, and I'm...
That's like I said, which you look back, which game was worse? Yeah.
And the witchcraft thing is so funny because Nintendo's always, they're always been so careful about, like, because
they make family games.
Yeah. They make family games, and occasionally,
like, Zelda was the one pushing the envelope on like that teen rating, you know.
Occasionally I'll get on a kick of watching, like, you know, YouTube videos of weird content they altered for American versions or for other, you know, different regions. And a lot of the weird stuff in early games that was altered was like anything religious, any religious iconography, anything that might one way or the other, get it out of there. Like they didn't want to offend anybody. They didn't want nothing. So it surprises me. And the hot coffee mod, which by the way, was a mod that you had to like, you couldn't do it on your PlayStation.
Yeah, it was PC.
It was PC. Mm-hmm. It was a whole process you had to do. It involved downloading something from, or involved getting online and getting information. Like, it's ridiculous that then they had to pull Xbox copies of the game down. And anyway, fully clothed, crude 3D models simulating sexual movements. That's what gets the game about stealing cars and violent crime and drug use.
Mm.
That stuff's fine. But you have fully clothed 3D models bumping pelvises. Get it out of here. It's not uniquely American, but it's definitely an issue America has. Australia has some weird... They're super strict on stuff, too. And they straight up... They censor games and stuff way harder than we do. And I don't know. It's just so strange to me. But how many... How many droves of just... Army games and war games nonstop every year, pump them out. Like, I don't get it. I don't get this like value on wholesale murder, but you know, witchcraft or sexuality, you gotta get that out of there,
right?
Oh, you can blow someone's face off in the name of patriotism, but you better not bump an ugly.
Yeah, fully clothed, bump an ugly.
Hey,
getting that dry hump.
Holy crap. This would be a long episode, even for a regular episode. This isn't even a normal right. episode. I can't believe we sat down to talk about, Jackie Brown and Foxy Brown and spent,
we're just going to skip them.
An hour and 40 minutes of rambling TV talk.
And then games right at the end, just got that in there.
That was maybe the most incoherent. Well, anyway, listener,
this is going to be a fun episode if you're listening.
I hope you would
step away for not like a minute.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Or depending,
what's this one about?
Depending how you time it, you could start listening to it, hear us talk about Titans, step away for about an hour and a half, step back, and we're still talking about Titans. Be like, wow, they talked about Titans for a long time. No. No, we didn't.
No, we went back Doom Patrol.
Actually, we did.
Then we went to Netflix.
Wow, that was everywhere. Well, maybe it was a good thing we did this and not the Brown movies.
I think we needed this episode.
We did. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. I hadn't planned on putting an episode out this week, but it's happening. So, Jasper, if someone was so inclined, where they can find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Caranzo Media, which is KORANSO Media. Or Mixer at the same, but not really, address.
Same, but not really?
Yeah. I was just kind of making a joke. Why are you going to cut me off? Anyway, Mixer.com/Caranzo. Spelled the same way on the Twitter feed.
Oh, no media?
No. Okay. It's just Caranzo, because okay. It's my gear tag.
That's what's the same, but not really.
Yeah.
I've been Randall Silva. You can find me at randallsilvey.com. It's RANDALSILVEY. That's primarily a portal to like my other thing, podedit.com, podcast network, all that stuff. But more importantly, you can find this show at grawlixpodcast.com. It's GRAWLIXpodcast.com or on Twitter at GCUpodcast. Also, check us out on Castbox. If you don't use Castbox, give it a go. We're not getting paid to say that, but we do have a lot of listeners over there, and I appreciate it, and I want to encourage that kind of activity.
Castbox! Rock the Castbox.
We don't get paid to say that, but I'm not saying there's not maybe a benefit to us doing it. Castbox has definitely helped our numbers.
Yep. So, go rock that Castbox. I'm just going to write that joke, sorry.
All right. Yeah, sit up. You're laying down.
Let's just get more comfortable.
I just realized. My legs were cramping. You just get more comfortable means the podcast is about to start sounding crappier.
No, my legs were cramping. He's over here talking